encourage you to grab your Bibles, please, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to turn around and I have this sitting here so I don't forget. Remember after we did Hometown Heroes, the Legion had a plaque for us. And this is the one that just thank you for the appreciation for the service and the dedication that we've had towards the veterans. They say they're going to have it plaqued, framed up. It's framed up. So we'll get this up next door so you can all read it. And it's very touching. Honor to get that in, so I just wanted to update that. So we'll get that up next door so everyone can see that and take care of all that. But in here, Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we've been building up sort of the case, and Paul does this oftentimes in his books. He starts building up the case. He starts talking about the doctrines of what we have in Christ, and as Christians, because we've accepted Him, because we believe that He died on the cross for our sins, and ask Him to forgive me, that in this, it should have a transforming effect in our lives. And He talks about all the blessings we have in Christ. He talks about all the things He takes care of us in our lives. And all these things are building the case. The last couple weeks, we've been looking at, look, the church. God has ordained His church. And not just as a time to get together, which is great. I love getting together with God's people. But also for a purpose. In here to train us, to teach us. So I can do the work and you can do the work that God has asked you to do. And so in here, I believe, and we looked at it the past couple weeks, that look, God has given gifts to you. You have gifts and abilities. You are wired a certain way to be used by Him and for Him in the sake of the church. And I believe one of the big problems that we have in churches today is that not everyone is doing what God has asked them to do. You know, most churches, you know, the statistics are pretty clear that you have 10% of the church doing 90% of the work. And God doesn't gear it that way. And if everyone says, God, how do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? How am I geared? What do I have to add? You all have something to add. In the diversity within the body of Christ, there's richness. God doesn't want us all the same. Aye, aye, aye. If you were all like me, that'd be scary. Well, but you're wired different. Your skill set is different. Your desires and your ambitions are different. And as we all pitch in within the church, God does great things. And I believe God has great things in store for Stockton if we're all willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me. And it's not a matter. I remember years ago, I was talking to a guy, I was trying to get him to come on to being a deacon. And he'd be a great guy. He served and loved the people. He's dedicated, knew the scriptures. I said, you know, consider being a deacon. And he goes, I don't know. I said, what? What's the problem? He goes, this is sort of embarrassing. I said, go ahead, you know. And he goes, I dropped out of school in sixth grade. He goes, I don't have a great education. He goes, I can barely read. He goes, I'm not qualified. I said, nowhere do I see that as a qualification in scriptures. And the guy was talented. The guy could build anything. My big joke with him was, I told him, I said, this guy could weld water. I mean, the guy is just phenomenal, what he could put together and how his brain worked. And he was just felt so disqualified because he didn't meet up to some standard that he thought he should have. Hogwash. That in here, all of us have a role and all of us have a place within the family of God. The big part comes to be willing and say, here am I, Lord, use me. And part of the responsibility we looked at just 2 weeks ago is that God has given pastors and teachers to help equip you. I'm here to help you discover God's role in your life. To teach you the scriptures. To come alongside. And that's, you know, today is our 2-year anniversary. It was 2 years ago you guys voted me in. Now, I don't know if impeachment proceedings are going on, or I don't know what's going on. There is no Russians involved, I can guarantee that. But we turn around and look at that. It's been 2 years. You know? And God's done some great things. And we see, new faces, and we're seeing people's lives change. We're seeing, people get baptized. We're seeing all these things taking place. And that's exciting. But you know what? It's not all because of one guy. But it's because of the body of Christ. And if it ever comes about one guy, give this guy the boot. Because it should never be about me. It's about Christ and His body. And I'm just doing the part that God has asked me to do. And you need to do the part that God has asked you to do as well. And in here, he builds in this case. And we get down later on in chapter 4, starting at verse 17. Now, technically, we should probably go down to the end of the chapter. We're not going to be able to cover that all in and still eat lunch. So we'll probably get break up here. We'll probably make it down to probably 24. So we're not going to get about halfway. But in here, I'm going to go ahead and I want to read this. And then we'll come back through and there's some things I want to point out. Verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Paul starts talking off here to the idea that, look, because I'm a Christian, I should be different. But the difference isn't necessarily on the outside. People kind of look at, I don't do this and I don't do that, right? I don't smoke, I don't drink. These are things that make you a Christian. Right? I go to church on Sunday. You can say, well, Pastor, you have to. Well, there's the old joke, the lady of the house comes out to the bottom of the stairs and says, "Hey, Bob, hurry up. You're going to be late for church. I don't want to go." "Come on, Bob, we got to go. People are respecting us." "No, I don't want to go." "Well, give me a reason why." He goes, "People are mean to me. People ignore me." She goes, "I'll give you two reasons why you need to come to church." He goes, "One, because it's the right thing to do." "Well, I don't want to go." The second goes, "You're the pastor." Right? Ba-bum-bum. All right. But in here, right? And oftentimes what we want to do is, I'm a Christian because I have these external things. I have the bumper sticker on the car. I have the pin I wear, the necklace I have on. These things make me a Christian. That's backwards. Well, Paul starts talking about, look, we look at all these things Christ has done for us. He died for us. He's forgiven us. He's given us new life. He's got all these things. He's given us the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, because this is all on the inside, it changes us from the inside out. Right? There are certain things I don't do because of what's on the inside. But the outside doesn't change the inside. The inside changes the outside. You got that? Sounds like the hokey pokey going on here, right? In here, we need to realize that, look, as Christians, really where the battle starts coming down to is our thoughts. The Bible talks about the mind of Christ versus the wisdom of this world. And that's what this passage is going through here. And then these two are really incompatible. When I was unsaved, I thought like an unsaved person. Right? Don't be surprised when people who aren't Christians act and think like non-Christians. Right? Sometimes we're shocked. Well, wait a minute. Well, because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't have the mind of Christ in them. And so they're doing the best they can. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but there are the ways of death. Actually, Paul goes through this in a few different passages. He talks about the contrast between these two minds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now look, because I'm a Christian, because now I have the Holy Spirit, and actually 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a great passage that starts talking about the Holy Spirit in us and how He reveals us and reveals the mind of God in us, and He teaches us from the inside out. But the unsaved don't have that. They don't have the Spirit of God in their life. And so when we start talking about spiritual things, they don't get it. Right? I remember sitting down to a bedside of a gentleman. And he's dying. He probably has days to live. And I come to him and I explain to him. I said, look, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? And he's like, no. I said, do you realize the Bible says that we are all sinners? You are a sinner and I am a sinner. He goes, yeah, I agree with that. He goes, look, because of our sin, that separates us from God. That if you die in your sins, that you won't go to heaven. I said, do you want to go to heaven? He goes, yeah, I do. I said, I got great news for you. I said, Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood for you. He died to take that penalty. And all you have to do is accept it. Doesn't that sound like a great deal? He goes, yes, it does. I said, would you like to accept Christ? He goes, I don't get it. And I was like, what? So I went down and I said, I'll try it again slower. And I walked through it again. Simple, you know? To me, I'm like, what have you got to lose? Accept Christ. And he goes, I just don't. And I got a little frustrated. Right? And what happened was, because he didn't have the Spirit of God in him, he couldn't understand the spiritual things. Right? I'm sure you experience this as well. How many of you have unsaved family? Have you ever talked to your unsaved family and they look at you like you're crazy? You know, not just, you know, family crazy. That's an older, I can't help you with that. But, you know, you tell me, you know, you go to church. Why do you want to do that? Right? Why do you want to do that? You pray? Why do you do that? Right? You have that conversation and they just don't get it. And it's not a matter of finding the right words. It's not a matter of being persuasive enough. The Bible says, look, that the unsaved, because they don't have the Spirit of God in their life, can't discern it. But we can. Right? Have you ever been, you know, the pastor's preaching? I'll use myself as an example. Your pastor's preaching, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Right? You ever heard that? It just kind of, yeah. Right? And it's not because I'm a great preacher. Isn't it because I'm so convincing? No, because what happens is, when I speak God's word, you got the Spirit of God in you. He agrees. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Right? That's the Spirit of God in you. You can only discern that because the Spirit of God is in you. Right? And the Scripture goes on. 1 Peter. Peter talks about this. He says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. The idea here is the unsaved. Right? Some of you were saved later in life. And you used to do what the world does. Right? You used to work, and then go off and maybe party, or maybe find different ways of escape, or watch certain things, or go do certain things. That's what everyone does, right? And maybe some of you had done those things. He says, when you walked into lewdness, the lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and the abominable idolatries. Right? You know, look at what I remember working with guys, and they were just waiting for the weekend. You know, they'd start on Friday and forget. What happened the rest of the weekend, right? And it was a good week, right? Spend your money on drugs and girls and drugs and alcohol, and that was a great time. Well, at least a whole mess in their wake, right? That's what the world does. And maybe some of you were involved in those things, but then he turns around and says, look, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Right? Maybe that's what you used to do. Maybe you found the Lord, and all of a sudden now you've changed. Maybe you don't want to go out with them anymore. Or maybe you don't watch the same things anymore. Or listen to the same things anymore. Maybe you don't do the same, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, or maybe the carousing and all these things that the world thinks is great and fun. And you don't do that anymore. What happened? Right? They look at you like, hey, you changed. What happened? Well, I got God in my life now. You know, all the things I thought were fun aren't fun no more. Right? You know, the things that I used to get pleasure from, I don't get pleasure from anymore. You know, maybe now, you know, I watch this show or watch this movie, or and all of a sudden now I just don't feel settled anymore. Right? What happened? The Holy Spirit is now in you. He's opened your mind up to see truth from lies. And so in here, starting in verse 17 through 19, he lists a whole bunch of things that talk about the way the world is, and the way the world thinks, and the wisdom of the world that it has. Take a look at what it says here. Alright? Just go ahead and start verse 17 again. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify to the Lord, you should not ever walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Right? When the Bible talks about walk, it's not talking about, you know, put one foot in front of the other. Right? That's what it's talking about. What it's talking about walking is how you live your life. How you walk around in this world. How do you live? Right? That's your walk. How's your walk? He says, look, we don't walk as the world does. And notice what it says here. It says, the futility of their mind, have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Then here he lists the things that control this world. And it's funny because as our society, you know, I mean, we've never had a point in our where everyone was a Christian. Right? You know, every once in a while people say, well, America was a Christian nation. Well, that's... There's Christian principles, right? But not everyone was a Christian. But in here, that what was accepted as morally right and wrong because of the biblical foundation that we had, right? Many of you grew up in a world where you learned the Ten Commandments in school, where prayer was said, right? Where people loved God and served God in various different ways. Right? And it's within my lifetime that prayer has been taken out of school. It's been time where you're not even allowed to talk about God anymore in the public square for fear of getting in trouble. I think it was right up here in Searsport. I was talking to someone that a teacher got in trouble because he went to another teacher in the teacher's lounge. They were going through something. She goes, "I'll pray for you." Right? That's all that it was said. It was, "I'll pray for you." Right? She didn't pray. That'd be really radical. Right? But she turned around and says, "I'll pray for you." And she got reported that she was apostatizing, that she was betraying her religion. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Right? We look at all these things, but don't be surprised, because as our nation is taking God out, we've removed ourselves even from the moral code of Scripture. Right? As we've done that, these things have progressed. To the point now, you know, I used to be a real heavy news junkie, you know. I listened to talk radio, turn on the TV, you know, watching the news. I could be on it 24 hours. My wife's like, "What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you." Because they say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, right? And she's like, "Ah." And I've gotten to a point where I'm just tired of hearing of it. How about you? Right? I'm finding more and more that I'm having less and less in common with the world. Anyone else feel that way? Because what happens is that they've turned from God and they now relying on their worldly wisdom. And I believe with all my heart, we turn around and you look and we see the shootings that's taking place. We look at the immorality that's going on. It's shocking what people are doing to people now in our society. There are things that used to be done in secret. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. The sins that are going on now have always been going on. But because of our society, what happened, a lot of it was going on behind the scenes. But what's happened now? Now we take it and now we elevate it. Right? There are things just a couple of years ago that were considered sin and immoral that now is praised and held up. We've redefined marriage. We've redefined what family is. We've redefined all these things according to the worldly wisdom. Right? And now they turn around and look at Christians and say, "We're the problem." Right? So in here, the list goes on. It talks about the first one, the fertility of their mind. The idea here is unsuccessful. All right? That in here, the world is trying to do things. I mean, because guess what? The unsaved want to raise happy children. The unsaved want to have good marriages. The unsaved want the benefits of all these things. Right? But it's empty. It's futile how they're trying to go about it. I was watching someone a couple of years ago, and they're talking about the idea of spanking your children. Now, I'm not for abusing your child. But I've put my hand on the rear end of my daughter, and she survived. Right? The discipline. The Bible's clear. Parents, you have a responsibility to discipline your children. Teach them right from wrong. When you say something, you have to follow through. Why? Because that's how God deals with us. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Can I tell you something that's really radical? That, you know what? If you discipline your child and don't love them, that's abuse. But you know what? If you love your child and don't discipline them, that's abuse as well. The Bible says foolishness is bound up with the heart of a child. You let your children go to their own devices, and foolishness happens. Go down to the school, look what happens. Right? But look, they're trying to get to the end result. They're trying to get the good results, but how they're doing it isn't working. Worldly wisdom. Why? Because they're disconnected. They realize that, look, we're not just body and we're not just emotions, but in here we're spiritual. So the world can never solve a problem apart from Christ. The second one talks about their understanding is darkened. Right? You turn around and take God out of the picture. Well, guess what? God is the picture. He's the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the one that we need. We're designed to have fellowship with Him. And when you remove that, it takes a whole big chunk of who we are. And the Bible says that the unsaved, their minds don't get it. They're darkened. They're understanding. And you try to tell them, try to explain it to them, and they just don't see it. Talk about they're alienated for the life of God. Because of sin separates them, they're separated from God. And in here, what happens is it sort of builds up, right? Because we get they're alienated from God and they're ignorant. They're ignorant of spiritual things. And sometimes they have that, I believe God has designed us to have fellowship with Him, and we have this God-shaped hole in us that we long to have something, and people, because they don't know what to fill it with. Right? Now, I've been trying to watch what I eat, and which is hard. It's a whole lot easier to put things in than not. And have you ever gone down into the fridge and you're hungry for something, but you don't know what? You ever done that? I'll do this when my wife is not around. And I'll say, I'll try this, and I'll eat this. Oh, no, that's not it. And then I'll turn around and I'll eat this, and then go in the cupboard, I'll try this, and I'll cook that. Right? Have you gone through where you go through the house and trying to find something that satisfies? Meanwhile, you've eaten everything else in the house. Right? A lot of the world's doing that. I believe they're hungry for spiritual things. There's this hole in them that only God could fill, but they run around and try to fill it in with everything else. Except for God. And in here, it talks about the idea of lewdness. That in here, they cast off restraint. Romans chapter 1 talks about this as well. Romans chapter 1 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." That in here, because we've taken off the restraints of what God asks us to do, how God defines, what's happened is the world runs amok, trying to find something that fills that hole. And what it is, it ends up with leading to greediness and lewdness and the acts that we see about us. Trying to satisfy those things. And they can't. But the flip side of this is, look, but as Christians, we have what's called the mind of Christ. That in here, He comes into our lives and He changes us from the inside out. That He changes how we think. And how we think different leads to different actions. Look at verse 19. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, He came in and made me a new person. And in that, part of that new person gives me new desires. Now, I still have the flesh. I still kind of drag that guy around. Right? And sometimes I still listen to it. Right? There's times in my life, they have that appetite of the flesh, and sometimes I stumble and I don't do things. But you know what? I feel that guilt and that shame because I know I'm going contrary to the Spirit of God within me. And next week we're going to look at, we get to verse after 24, talks about the Holy Spirit is in us. And we need to listen to Him. Heed His voice. Right? And not grieve Him as He's trying to guide us and direct us in His life. But in here, we have the Spirit that is now in us. And it starts from the inside out. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Help me out here. Let's try it again here. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what acceptable, what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. That in our lives, as I have God in my life, as I get His Word into me, as I get these things in, it starts changing how I think, and it changes my actions as well. But it starts with transforming. I can't think like I used to think. Or I'll keep doing what I used to do. Right? Then in here, my desire comes such that, look, you know what? Because I love God, I want to please Him. And this is things that please Him. And it changes how I act and how I behave. A couple years ago, I was talking to a young lady. And I was eating a hot dog. I like hot dogs. And she was appalled that I was eating a hot dog. And she goes, do you know what's in that? I told her, I said, I don't want to know and don't tell me. Right? And she goes, oh, if you ever get a chance, go and watch a video. This is the name of the video. I didn't watch it. And she goes, look, I want you to go and watch this video. Because you watch is from a hot dog factory. And it follows what they do in the hot dog factory and all this. She goes, you watch this video, you never eat another hot dog again. So I haven't watched the video because I like hot dogs. Right? But that's how a lot of the world functions. Right? Here's the truth. This is what God says. You have the Spirit within you and you can follow it or not. But you know, it will change you once you know. And unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we're like me with hot dogs. I like doing what I'm doing and I don't want to change. And then we grieve the Holy Spirit that's within us. But I want to take a look at the list. Talk about the mind of Christ. Right? First one, that's why the things that are we doing are these things that we've learned from God. Am I doing just because everyone else does it? Am I doing it just because it feels good? Am I doing it for self-pleasure? Or are these things that I've learned from Him? Right? What's my guide? Should I, shouldn't I? Is it please God or not? Is it according to His Word or not? Right? In what I'm doing, have I learned this from God? And we see this in our world today. You know, like I said, we try to redefine families. The Bible is real simple. God's desire is for a man and one woman to get married and raise godly children. That's all Malachi. That's God's desire. Right? You redefine that, and that's our own pleasure. So you haven't learned that from Christ. We live in a society where people are shacking up, are moving in, having sex in and out of marriage, going all over the place, and we see the wave of destruction along the way. Right? And it even happens in the church. People like to throw back and say, well, you know, talk about the idea of divorce. The church divorce is just as popular in church as it is in not. Well, shame on the church. I'm going to be blunt. Right? I line myself up with the Word of God. So in here, have I learned this of Christ? The second one, are we taught by Him? Are we actually in the idea of that pursuit of God? What do you want me to do? When I'm given a choice, God, am I going to line up with you or not? Teach me, Lord. And part of teaching is that ability to yield to it. Right? If I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to do, and I see it, I have a choice. Right? I can turn a blind eye, I'm going to ignore it, I'll do this. Or am I teachable by the Spirit of God in my life? Right? And you have your struggle and I have mine. Right? We got to be very careful and say, well, your sin's worse than mine. I like to think that. That's not true. Right? And there's something that I struggle with that maybe you don't. But it doesn't matter. It all comes down to, okay, God, am I going to learn of you? Right? Are we taught by Him? Second one is put off the old man. The terminology here is to put off, is to like take off an old clothes. My truck broke down the other day. And someone says, you have a Ford. It's like, yeah. Darren helped me out the other day. He goes, I just want you to know. He goes, a Dodge is now towing your Ford. I figured I'd beat you to the punch, Darren. This is my first truck, so I'm not even a truck guy, so I don't know what that means. Right? I was glad for the Dodge was there to help my Ford, right? But here, right? But so I've spent the last day crawling underneath my truck. And I walked in the house, and I had grease and grime all over me. I walked in the house, and my wife is just like, go get cleaned up. don't pass gold. Do not collect $200. You're not eating. You're not drinking. Go get cleaned up. I'm like, why, hon? Don't you want a hug? I was like, get away. Right? Grease and burns, and it's not pretty. Right? Put that aside and get cleaned up. The Bible says, put off the old man. That when I am saved, that now I become alive in Him. That I'm a new creature in Him. Now, like I said, I still have this flesh. I still have some of these desires. And my goal is to listen to Him more than I listen to those desires. And as I put those things off, the Bible says, take them off just like you take off those dirty clothes. Right? Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is Christians turn around and say, you know what? God, thank you for my salvation, but these clothes are comfy. Right? Now, the clothes that I get all dirty in, they are comfy clothes. I got baggy pants, and I got a t-shirt that's got holes and everything else. And I embarrassed my kid the other day. We were out somewhere. I was fixing I need a part. So I went out with her, and she's like, Dad. Sorry, she's 8 years old. Oh, nine. She's nine. She's like, Dad, you got holes in your shirt, Oh, but they're comfy. Right? It's like, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I don't want to get cleaned up. I just want to sit down in my chair. Right? And sometimes what happens is the old ways are pretty comfy. The way I used to live and the things I used to do, it's comfortable. And it's like, wait a minute. God looks at us and He says, look, I cleaned you up. I died for you to free you from your sin. Why are you going back to it? God says, look, I've given my Spirit in you to show you a better way. Why are you going back to those old ways? Why are you doing that? Put off the old man. Take it off. And walk in the newness of life that you have. You don't have to do what you used to do. And it wasn't good for you anyways. Then it talks about He renews our mind. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us, we will think different. We'll have different desires, different ambitions. Different things will satisfy as He renews us from the inside out. Right? I come to church not to make me a Christian. Right? I don't come here to find God. I have God in me and He wants to shine out. That's why I come, to be together with His people. Right? But in here, God changed my thoughts. And we have a lot of therapy and a lot of these other things. You know what I believe a big part of it comes down to? Is God change my thoughts. Renew my mind. I don't need to be depressed. I can rejoice in what God has given me. Change my thoughts. Break the cycle. Right? And when I wrestle with sin in my life, when I wrestle against the old man, the old ways, right? When I wrestle that, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to buck up and I'm going to do it this time, right? I've done that. I'm going to do it. Instead of doing that, I turn around and say, God, change my desire. Take away the appetite for sin. Take away that appetite. And then it needs to be a difference. A couple of years ago, I gave up diet soda. I've been drinking diet soda since I was like 13, 14 years old. Right? And a couple of years ago, I'm like, you know, it's probably not good for me, among other things. So I'll cut that one out. And every once in a while, you know, it goes through McDonald's. It's part of the meal and everything else. So I'll do it. But it's funny, you go down through, and you haven't done something. All of a sudden, I'll take a sip of it. It's like, man, this tastes so sweet. Ugh. Right? But I'm cheap, so I bought it, so I'm going to drink it because I don't want to throw it away. Right? I'm weird. But you wrestle with that. But it's funny how all of a sudden, when you turn from something, you don't do something for a while, all of a sudden, it doesn't taste right. It doesn't satisfy like it used to. A couple of years ago, someone sent us a photo of my wife and I. We were newly married, so I was a young buck. And we were down at a beach around Lake Ontario with some friends, and there's a picture of me. Let's see, this would have been, what, early 90s, late 80s. Late 80s. And I'm wearing a pair of shorts. That at the time, I remember thinking, these were so cool. Well, right now, they're just downright embarrassing. And I looked at it, I was like, oh, well, don't laugh at me, because I bet some of you ladies have old hairdos that you dug up. So you get, wow, I was the hot thing. And all of a sudden, now you're like, what was I doing back then? No, don't you judge. Don't you do that, you know? But it's funny, I had this picture of my wife's like, hey, look at this, snicker, snicker. It's like, oh. And my oldest daughter got a hold of it. And she's like, Dad, what were you thinking, right? I wouldn't wear that now. What happened? I'm thinking a lot different now. Right? I have no appetite for those things. I don't have the appetite for that. Right? Renew my mind. Renew myself, Lord. Give me your thoughts. Then the last one is put on the old new man. Right? Just as we take off the old, let's take off those dirty clothes. Instead of doing that, go out and put on the fresh stuff. As Christians, there's two parts. One, Lord, take away the old things. But you know, if I just get rid of that, then there's a hole. Right? All of a sudden, I don't have anything. Yeah, I told you I gave up soda. Well, like, what am I supposed to drink now? My wife's like, just drink water. Well, you know, then, no. Yeah. So what I've done is now, yeah, I like soda water, right? You know, the fizzy water. You know, but it tickles my nose. It tastes good, right? You know, it's like, oh. Right? Now, I don't know if that's even better for you. Don't tell me if it's not, please. But, you know, but you fill it with something else. God, in my life, as I am turning away from the things of this world, I'm turning away from the sin, I'm turning away from the worldly wisdom, I'm turning away from all these things, now, Lord, help me pursue the positive. Change what I do. I mean, Sunday, you guys could be doing something else. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. You made a good choice. Right? And the more things we can do in our lives, that look, we become automatic. Right? In our house, it's simple. You know, we sit down for our meal, and we pray. That's our habit. There's no question. My daughter never says, Dad, are we really going to pray? No, this is what we always do. If we're out, we're in a restaurant, guess what? We still pray. This is what we do. There's no thought. It's not a vote. It's just become an automatic of trying to do the right thing. Put on the new man. Purposely choose the positive. And you'll find out that the more you do it, the easier it becomes. We're not left alone. I'm in overtime, so I apologize. next week we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in this, starting at verse 25. That we're not alone in this. That God has given us this helper, this Holy Spirit, to help us in this new life as we go on forward. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you. I'm not what I used to be. And Lord, I thank you for your patience in making me what I need to be. Lord, each one of us, Lord, is in this walk. Lord, help us be diligently walking with you. Put aside the sin and seek out the glory. Help us choose wise things, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.